Beautiful but chilly Tuesday, the 15th of December. I'm Ken DeCoster. It's my pleasure to welcome to WNTA via Washington, Congressman Don Manzullo. Congressman, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good to talk to you.
I'm fine this morning. Trying to get this mic adjusted.
Good to talk.
How's that?
It sounds great.
Great.
Lots to talk about. The Obama administration today is expected to announce plans for the Federal Bureau of Prisons to purchase the Thompson Correctional Center over in Carroll County and lease a section of the prison to the Defense Department, which would house up to 100 terror suspects now being held down in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Do the economic benefits, Congressman, outweigh concerns about bringing terror suspects to Illinois?
Well, I don't think you can compare the two. First of all, why would you want to imperil the safety of people with an economic argument? What we've been trying to do all along is to ask two questions. The first question is, if the reason for closing Guantanamo Bay and moving it to the United States is to serve as a deterrent to terrorists who believe that Guantanamo Bay is the number one recruiting tool, then how can we be assured that the hatred and the animosity and the vitriol that is spewed by these terrorists towards Gitmo will not transfer to Thompson, Illinois? I asked that question 2 days after I was informed of the movement to Thompson of Phil Carter, who at the time was the acting secretary at the Department of Defense in charge of detainees. And he said, number one, and he agreed with me, this would be the largest collection of incarcerated international terrorists in the United States. Number two, that there would be some transfer of that hatred, but that there's no way to measure the extent of it. However, DOD, working with local authorities, could, quote, manage, end of quote, of the situation. I was shocked. Absolutely shocked that our government would make a decision to bring those people here when they had no way of measuring the extent of the threat. And when I returned to Washington the very next day, after 11 days of continuous phone calls to the Department of Defense, wanted to speak with different people, I discovered after a few days that Philip Carter, who was the number one point person at DOD, had suddenly left. Gave immediate notice and was gone for personal reasons. So the only person who really squared with me is now left. And DOD refused to set up any further briefings until about 11 days thereafter. And we had a subsequent briefing, and absolutely nothing was gleaned from that. But the second question is the one that really impacts the people of the Rockford area, and that is this: to what extent does the removal of these detainees from Guantanamo Bay to U.S. soil entitle them to additional constitutional and legal rights? And we've been told by DOD, that, well, first of all, there's a law that says you can't release these people upon U.S. soils. However, we do know, based upon my discussions with the scholars from the Library of Congress, based with a lot of outside groups presently involved in litigation, that once these terrorists come to the United States, there will be slews, I guess if that's a word, maybe a slew of lawsuits that very well could bottle up the federal courthouse in Rockford. And we've been desperately trying to get answers to this question. In fact, the Judiciary Committee of the House, the ranking member there, minority member Lamar Smith from Texas, filed a document called a resolution of inquiry requesting information from the Department of Justice as to the extent of the legal additional legal rights that these detainees would get. And amazingly, the Democrats defeated that resolution of inquiry along party line votes. It was astonishing. I mean, it sucks the breath out of your lungs as to why we can't get this basic information. But Ken, we do know this, that there is no law, and thank God there is no law, that allows the government to incarcerate somebody in this country without either a military tribunal or a federal court trial, and those are exactly the people that will be coming to Thompson, Illinois, the most incorrigible of them all, the ones as to whom our government says are not entitled to any trial of any type.
My
big concern is the impact on the federal courthouse. What does that mean for the city of Rockford? Are they going to close down blocks when these terrorists come in? What's that going to do in terms of people saying, well, you know, let's, you know, Rockford will become the terrorism trial capital of the world? I mean, people aren't thinking about this.
The Tribune reports the administration has also considered the possibility of operating a military tribunal at or near the Thompson prison.
It'll be in the prison. That's correct.
Yeah.
Our concern is that this will become a magnet. And my concern is not alone. It's shared by former Governor Sebelius of Kansas. She's now in Obama's administration. And she said in a letter to Obama that as the governor of the state, even with Fort Leavenworth and his fortress, that she is concerned the area would become a magnet, it would become unsafe. An area for schools, for hospitals, for personnel, for military operations around there. And her two senators actually wrote into language permanent law saying that these Gitmo detainees could not come to Kansas. And the same concern is shared by Senator Lieberman. I've talked to him extensively. I saw him this past week. He's very concerned about that. And Senator Jim Webb of Virginia, who's a Democrat. So I'm not standing alone on this. I'm in very good company of people who know the high risk that could entail if these terrorists come to Thompson, Illinois.
We're speaking with 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo, whose congressional district includes Thompson, Illinois. Congressman, do you have time for a couple of questions?
Yeah, I do. Let me just add this point.
Sure.
We've always been in favor of opening that prison. It was built as a high-risk prison. Several years ago, it's a state-of-the-art facility, and it should be a. In fact, the state of Illinois has an early release program for felons because there's not enough room in the state of Illinois system, and Thompson was built to close down Stateville because Stateville is a 100-year-old facility. And so what's going to happen in a few years, the taxpayers of Illinois are going to have to build another prison that probably costs about at least $200 to $300 million. But the economic impact would be significant. And Ken, based upon the White House's estimate of economic activity, if you take even half of that, there would be enough revenues from state income tax and state sales tax for the state of Illinois to reopen that prison on its own.
Philip, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Philip, good morning to you.
Good morning, and good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
You discussed the terror assessment and the scare assessment of the terrorists who would be housed there, Congressman. But have you? What's your take on, with this being a federal facility, a lot of your gang chiefs and national and international drug lords would be eligible for transfer to the Thompson facility. And we know that the gang chiefs and the drug cartels, have the terror that they reign on the streets of America every day. What's your take on those individuals who would be eligible for transfer to Thompson?
Well, you know, that would be an additional risk. One of the things that we could never find out is, the extent of how a community is impacted, unless you take a look at it one by one. Our big concern is anybody with an international tie is going to have a significant risk. We're not concerned about these guys breaking out. You know, that's never going to happen. But we are concerned that there is a magnet that will happen there.
Let's go to the phones. Ted, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Ted, good morning.
Thank you, Kenny.
Good morning.
We've talked before. You'll probably remember my voice once you start hearing it here. I agree with many issues on you, but I have to really disagree with you on this one. And I'd like to just point a couple things out, and then I'll just wait for a response.
Thank you.
First off, Congressman, I would remind you that Illinois has been known to house some of the most dangerous criminals we've ever had, back as far back as Capone. These people don't scare us, number one. Number two, I would also say to you, Congressman, that anybody that could get into the center of the United States would mean we have a big problem with our borders, and maybe we should be more concerned with that if we're in fear that anybody could get this far in. Number three, Congressman, I believe that we are the example of the world. And our Pledge of Allegiance says, and justice for all. And I think we should stand by that and prove our point that we are a fair and just nation. Even though these are not United States citizens, we should treat them under our law and make that worldly note and show who we are. That's my statement, Congressman.
Well, first of all, these are not the people that would be detained at Gitmo. Are totally unlike anybody that's presently incarcerated in this country because number one, they're part of an ideological movement, and number two, they're part of they have international connections. We have presently in this country about 340, it depends on who you talk to. Also, the Department of Justice gives you different figures. But I'll take the figure that was given to us by Hardy Lappin, who's the Bureau of Prisons director, and I would accept his figure. There are about 340 so-called domestic and international terrorists. And of that group, about 220 are fully integrated into the federal prison system. In other words, they're not passing notices, they're not doing that much recruiting, etc. So of the remaining group of about 110, those are broken down into three areas. It's Marion, Illinois, the prison in Terre Haute, Indiana, and Supermax in Florence, Colorado. But of all this group, you may only have about 10 people with international ties. And then you have the separation, the difference in if you want to call it, in the quality of the people, is that this will be the largest concentration of incarcerated international terrorists, and they're all Taliban or Al-Qaeda. In the United States. Second of all, a border control is obviously is an issue, and I agree with you 100% that we have to keep control of that. Third of all, the reason why Gitmo was set up in the first place, the reasons. Number one was to find a place offshore in the United States where these people, these international terrorists, would not be given constitutional rights. And this is necessary because we have this undeclared war in our hands called the War on Terror. Second of all, it was to make it as isolated and inaccessible as possible so that people would not even attempt not only to escape, but to come and attack the area. And when you're surrounded by water and sharks at the tip of Cuba, that simply is not an issue. But we do have military tribunals that are used in military situations, and those people who committed these acts should be tried in a military tribunal. Otherwise, we're going to have ridiculous issues such as when the soldier is shot at and goes after and pins somebody's neck against the wall with a gun and gets him to surrender. He's got to give his Miranda warnings.
Would this plan, Congressman, require congressional approval?
That the president has?
Yes.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because unbeknownst to members of Congress, including myself, tucked into a 2,500-page bill is language that gives the president authority to do that, but provides that the president has the ability or has to come up with certain guidelines and has to file a report with Congress. And this report says that the cost of it, the cost of moving it, the reason why you're moving it, a determination of the risk, and let me read this. An assessment of any risk to the national security of the United States or its citizens, that the president has to file this with Congress, but it's classified. That means the American people will never know the extent of the risk to which they're facing. Plus, they'll never know the costs. They'll never know the amount. I mean, President Obama spent from June last year until now over $300 million fixing up the facilities in Guantanamo Bay. But the American people will never know the cost of that prison, the risk. They won't know anything. And that's outrageous, Ken, because there's already documentation. Let me give you, for example, there was an article in in November 29th issue of the Washington Post about a Yemeni family. And it quoted the brother who was in Yemen talking about his brother who was at Gitmo in one of the USS Cole detainees, been there for 8 years. And the brother in Yemen said, "We presume that President Obama was going to close Gitmo and release everybody, not to move it to the United States." If it's moved to the United States, I want to quote what he said. His name was Arif. He's the brother of the United States. Arif said he was confident that Obama would close Guantanamo next year. If he doesn't, or if Uthman, that's the brother who's detained in Gitmo, and other detainees are sent to a prison in the U.S., many families would consider it an ever greater betrayal. The families, their friends, their tribesmen will have more hatred for the United States, Arif said, and perhaps they will consider taking the same path as the extremists. So we could see an increase in terrorism as a result of moving Guantanamo Bay to the United States. And Thompson, obviously the prison's secure, nobody can get out. It's surrounded by melon fields, soybeans, corn, cattle graze around there. But the area is exposed to all these cells that could move in. In fact, the FBI, just a few months ago, arrested a David Headley. This was a Pakistani terrorist with al-Qaeda ties who actually, from a small farm, probably 50 miles from my farm in Ogle County, planned the Mumbai bombings in India that killed close to 150 people. I mean, that terrorism and those cells are hot. In fact, they're so hot that the head of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, made a statement that says that al-Qaeda is everywhere in the world, including extensively in the United States.
We're speaking with Congressman Don Manzullo for a few more minutes. 815-874-8255 is our telephone number. Hi, Bob. You're on WNTO with the Congressman, Don Manzullo.
Congressman Manzullo.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Fine. Just fine, sir. Thank you very much for all you do.
Thank you.
I've been down to the prison, okay, and I've talked to the prison guards, and I've also talked to the people in the town. And one of the things they're really concerned about is jobs. If Guantanamo people come here, which it looks like they are, the prison guards are going to lose their job and be transferred around.
That's correct.
In that town, they want to stay there. Since it's going to happen, and it's a shame that it is going to happen, I think something should be done so that they do not have any rights to due process that we have in the United States. Number two, I think the federal government has the responsibility and the duty to upgrade those guards that are there so that they can keep their jobs and stay in that town. I would like to see that done. I know the people of the town do want to have more businesses come in, and I know the people that are the guards there want to keep their jobs. So we need to do something for those people to make sure that they retain their jobs at that prison in the town where they have their families.
Well, Bob, that won't happen because it'll convert from a state prison to a federal prison.
Right.
Every person who works in the federal prison, including janitors, chaplains, people who work in the kitchen, is a deputy. Mm-hmm. And you must be under 37 years old to qualify to become a federal deputy.
Right.
So the guys that are there in the state prisons that are over 37, they're out.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I know
they're
I
out.
Talked to one of the union fellows there that is a guard, is 38 years old, and he's going to lose his job.
He'll lose his job. The other thing is the constitutional rights come with where your feet are.
Right.
And that's why a person whose feet are on U.S. soil, whether he's legal or illegal, a terrorist or whatever, has the same constitutional rights as somebody who is here legally or even homegrown.
Right.
And so you can't discriminate based upon who you are as to the application of the civil rights law. But we've always been in favor of opening that prison. The state of Illinois should just come to a realization that there's enough economic impact to fill the state coffers enough so that they can operate that jail. But you know what happens, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
All the money goes to Chicago.
That's right.
In fact, Senator Severson is waging a brave fight In fact, he's on the committee that meets on December 22nd. This is a committee of legislators to determine whether that prison should be turned over. Today, President Obama is making his decision to buy it. I mean, that's what a fast track this thing is on. And we just need to slow it down, let the American people have the ability to process what's going on, have debates in the House of Representatives and the Senate and the respective committees as to the security impact on the people of this country.
Thank you, Bob. We have a few more minutes with Congressman Don Manzullo. If you'd like to take part, give us a call at 874-8255. The Senate is closer to passing health care reform legislation that does not include a government insurance option or an expansion of Medicare. Congressman, when the dust settles, what type of health care reform bill will pass both houses of Congress, and what's the timetable for passing it?
It might be easier to end the Afghanistan war than answer. We don't know what they're doing. I mean, you know, one option has always been just leave things alone. But the liberals go out and say, we got to do something, got to pass laws. The government option's off the table, and then they wanted to increase Medicare. But in each of these plans, Ken, it calls for a massive increase in Medicaid. That's the sleeper. The Senate plan is 150% of the federal poverty level. The House level is 133% of the federal poverty level. And so really a family in the Senate of about earning about $40,000 a year, in the House about $33,000 a year, all those people would go into Medicaid. And a lot of doctors today don't take Medicaid assignments because they pay even less than Medicare. So we've got a big, big problem going on here, and you would see the end of independence, an independent insurance policy whereby an individual can just go online and buy insurance. My son, when he came off my family policy, still has his policy with Blue Cross Blue Shield. It costs him $60 a month, good coverage. But he would no longer be able to do that unless he's part of a group. And the group plan, if he joined it where he is employed now, just his cost, which is 29% of the plan, would be $150 a month. So we know that there will be massive increases in the cost of insurance if either the Senate or the House version goes through.
Your description of reasonable, doable, affordable health care reform.
Well, actually, there is something called the SHOP Act. Senator Durbin and I are co-sponsors of it, and it's amazing because it's drawn up by labor unions and by the National Federation of Independent Businesses. And what it does, it creates massive purchasing pools, but allows for the continuance of state mandates. For example, in Illinois has mandated insurance for in vitro fertilization. Most states don't have that. And so there already is something out there that probably could pass in about 2 hours in each chamber because it's so simple, Ken. But if something's simple, it makes sense. That doesn't usually happen in Congress.
Rosie, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Rosie, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Hi, Rosie.
Mr. Manzullo, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
I have a question, and
yes.
I can just give it, and you can answer it, and okay. I'll listen. Today I heard on the news here on this station that tomorrow they would be discussing this health program, and they also will be discussing banning drugs from Canada. And I just ask you why they would do that.
Well,
I am on something called Zetia.
Mm-hmm.
Here, and if I got it at Walmart, it's $4 plus a pill.
Okay.
We can get it from Canada for $1.14 a mm-hmm. pill. And we have no drug coverage. So why in the world would you stop prescriptions from Canada, which help a lot of the elderly keep their drugs?
Okay. Rosie, I agree with you 100%. The McCaskill Amendment to the Senate Health Bill addressed that, and I believe with you that it should happen. But the McCaskill Bill to the Senate Bill actually does allow reimportation, so they. Jockeyed that around, but that's interesting because pharma, the giant pharmaceutical the organization that represents the giant pharmaceutical organizations, made this deal with the Senate or with the president in exchange for $80 billion in tax in cuts that they would make for domestic supply of pills, that the president and the Congress would go on record of opposing reimportation. So that's the deal that was made, Rosie, that would have quadrupled the price of your pill.
Congressman, we only have about a minute. 2 weeks ago, the president announced plans to send an additional 30,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan and also revealed plans to begin withdrawing some American troops from Afghanistan by the summer of 2011. Do you support the troop surge, and how will the surge be paid for?
Well, what we're still trying to figure out is how this is going to work. Most Republicans and most Democrats have been reserved in what the president has said. There's been very little criticism of it because we're trying to figure out exactly what it means. But I'm a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee. In fact, I sit on the Terrorism Subcommittee, so that's why I'm pretty engaged in this issue in Thompson. But Secretary Gates really said that a timetable is not a timetable. And what the president, what President Obama is doing is probably no different than what Senator McCain would have done if he had become president. So we're just trying to figure out exactly how this is going to work out at this point.
Great to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I don't see you before, Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas to you, Ken.
Thank you. It's 9:59 at 1330 WNT.